The Monty Show on Wednesday, June 13th. We're back from vacation. Hey, Jake.
Hello.
Did you miss me?
Yes.
See, Jake, when I go on vacation, gets to bring his girls over, and they just party all night long.
Yeah, it's great.
And then I come home, and Jake hates life again, right?
Right.
But you don't hate life nearly as much as you hate Shohei Ohtani. Nearly as much as you hate LeBron the Lakers. Nearly as much as you hate Trump for the Nobel Prize. Pop sockets. Anything? Did I leave anything else off the list?
Yeah, you should have been first on the list, but that pretty much covers it, you know?
You can find us on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. And if you were watching this show right now on Twitter via Periscope, God bless you, friends. Without further ado, let's talk. I'm going to start the show with baseball. The last couple of weeks, we've been so basketball heavy with the playoffs and with everything going on in the postseason. I'm going to start this show talking a little Major League Baseball, Jacob. What do you think the biggest story in baseball right now is?
I mean, it's still got to be the Cubs' struggles and Mike Trout just having a ridiculous year. I mean, he's just having another great year. And in my opinion, yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, I guess, but he's well on his way, and I think it's universally agreed that he will be a Hall of Famer when he's done.
Oh, yeah. So do you think Mike Trout is a Hall of Famer right now?
I think it's close, but, he doesn't.
Wow, no kidding.
You're right in the fact that, yeah, he doesn't have enough home runs. I mean, he's, 250 home runs or whatever. I mean, he's well on pace. It's not fair to say he's a Hall of Famer right now. I do think he's the best player in the game right now today with where this season's at, with guys like Harper not having a great year. Everybody on the Cubs not having a great year. He's the best player in baseball right now. There's a few guys on the Red Sox that might have something to say about that, but for me, he's the best player in baseball right now today.
Well, all-around player, I think he is. Mookie Betts has to be close to that, which says something about how far Bryce Harper's fallen this year. But my question is, if you're Bryce Harper, are you looking past the Angels at some point? Because they're bad. And this Shohei Ohtani, Tommy John, not Tommy John discussion, I think is foolish. If you're the Los Angeles Angels that play in Anaheim, aren't you trying to TJ Shohei as soon as you can, A?
Yeah, I think it would be smart. I think timeline-wise with where you're at this year, it's not like you're anywhere near the top of that division. So it's not as though you're playing to win the division. You're not going to the playoffs, so it would be smart. Now, with that being said, everybody's all, enamored with his ability to hit home runs, which, okay, great, I get it. Like, that's nice. He's a two-way player. He's not going to be a two-way player his entire career. He's just not. It's not going to sustain itself. But for now, it's been a nice story, admittedly.
So, Sack Bunt Dustin on Twitter, who writes for The Atlantic in San Diego, and I had a big discussion about this on Twitter the other day, and he says, why pass on a good, great hitter? I don't see the gain in shutting him down completely. So long as Ohtani can still swing effectively with a partially torn UCL or whatever, their offense is basically the swinging Mike Trouts without Ohtani. See,
yeah, I mean,
and I don't agree with that, though, because I think you're having a guy like Andrelton Simmons have a big year, and you have other pieces on that team. Offense is not their issue. They're top 10 in pretty much every offensive category. Their pitching is terrible. They don't have a number three starter or a two or a one. They've got a bunch of fours. And this is my point on Ohtani. And I think this is pretty much how baseball works on the whole. Shohei Ohtani was bought to be a top of the rotation pitcher. He was bought to be an ace. He was not bought to be a DH. The two don't compute. And the value that's placed on pitching today in Major League Baseball, and you're a pitcher and a pitching coach, you get all this. I put a supreme value on top rotation starters. The DeGroms and Syndergaards, who we're going to talk about in a minute. The Lesters, the Quintanas, the Darvishes. The guys who are supposed to be top of the rotation have to perform that way. And Ohtani did. So you value him as that. And I think that means you have Tommy John just as soon as Dr. Andrews says it's time to do that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I think that I agree with what you're saying about his ability to be a DH and a two-way player and how that's not why they got him. But the simple fact is that fans want it. Fans want to see him hit. Fans want to see him on the field. And I think that plays into a lot of the Angels, you know, decision-making, clearly. Because any type of winning club, any kind of club that wants to compete and wants to get better and win the World Series inside of 5 years would have already shelved the guy and had him have, you know, TJ or get that evaluation and figure out what the next step is. Because right now, until you know the next step, you're just floating. You're just wasting days, right? Like, so if you're just going to keep wasting days, I mean, yeah, I guess throw him in the box. What the hell? It's not like you're winning the division, right? Like, yeah, so it doesn't matter. But at the same time, what happens? Ask yourself this, the guy from the Atlantic. What happens if Shohei Ohtani doubles and you know, sprains his knee running to first base? What happens if he gets hurt being a DH? Then what are you going to think?
Yeah.
Now he's got two injuries to you know, rehab in the offseason.
Yeah, gets hit by a pitch or whatever. Look, I just think people have to value him as a number one, an ace of a rotation.
But he has that stuff. But again,
and he's shown that.
One thing that I don't think people are putting enough stock into is the mental fortitude to go 30 starts in a major league season, right? Like, this is his first attempt at doing it. And we all said on this show, yeah, look out for arm injuries this year because it's his first year even attempting to go past 140
and
innings.
In spring, he had a sprained ulnar collateral ligament, which is the main ligament in your elbow that allows you to throw. So you knew this was
an
issue.
And by the way, what's his best pitch? His splitter.
Yeah.
Huge, huge strain on your arm. Yeah. It's the highest strain pitch that you can throw.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think I look at the rest of the rotation. Tyler Skaggs has had a good month. But Garrett Richards, you know, Trapiano, I guess.
Like, those guys, here's
Andrew
the thing.
Heaney.
Those guys are just names. They're not quality.
They're just guys who stand out there and throw the ball. They're just a guy.
Right. So the Angels, again, and this is why they don't win. They're not willing to say, you know what, yeah, we've got Ohtani, and he can really give us good outings and has given us good outings, and he could be a realistic ace for us. Just depends if he comes back from TJ Strong or not. We'll see.
Yeah.
Their ability to overhaul the rotation and even some bullpen work, it would be huge for them. It would change their season, but they won't do that, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I agree. Should Mike Trout look to leave the Angels?
If he wants to cement himself as one of the best players to ever play this game, yeah, you need to leave the Angels. You're not going to win enough to be one of the best players to ever win the game. It's nice to get all-star. It's nice to, you know, get all-star MVPs and MVPs and, you know, gold gloves and Wilson all defensive player of the years. But that doesn't make you the best ever. You can't win once over a 20-year career and be the best ever. And so in my opinion, I just think he needs to go somewhere where, you know, he needs to go to the Dodgers of the world, the Yankees, wherever, a big-name club, and win. That's all you got to do.
They're just a flawed team.
They are.
They buy all of their talent. And the clubs that buy all of their talent, those are the teams that struggle. Bryce Harper. An NL executive called him a selfish losing player. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't agree with that. And before I even get into that, I would just say I think it's incredibly selfish to be the guy who's like, yeah, don't put my name in that story, but here's what I think of Harper. Like, if you're going to talk crap about a player, you need to come out with your name and have accountability.
Well,
to own
especially
that.
When you say that.
And by the way, you're not talking about Joe Schmo who plays shortstop. This is Bryce Harper we're talking about, an MVP, a guy who's going to be a multi-MVP by the time he's done. So he's having one bad year. I would agree that it's a losing proposition to pay him $400 million over 10 years. I've always been in that stance. But he's not a losing player, and I certainly don't think he's selfish.
Well, I think Bryce is in the middle of a savage, savage hit slump. He hits home runs.
Yeah.
He's one of the Major League Baseball leaders in home runs. But his average is terrible, and it's because he's refusing to take walks. He's up there swinging for the fences, and I think it's really killing him because he's not able to do what Barry Bonds did. Barry would stand in the box and dare you to throw him a strike, and he would swing at nothing but strikes, which gave him the black. Barry owned the black. The pitcher never got calls on the corner against Barry. And Bryce has to get back to that because he was there.
And I think he's capable of getting back to that. And I think he is uniquely qualified to be the guy who says, you know what, for the first month of the year, I'm just going to try and hit as many baseballs into play as I can. And at this point, it hasn't worked out for him, clearly. So I would not put it past him to be the player, to be the caliber of guy mentally, to say, you know what, for this team to win, I need to change my mental approach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He is that guy. He can change like that.
Is he overrated?
Well, right now it's easy to say he's overrated. I don't think he's overrated. I think when the guy's at his full potential and giving you everything he has to offer, he's easily one of the best players in the league, if not the best player in the league, depending on how you look at it.
Well, you can't play 7 years and have a 27 WAR and be overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an unbelievable number. So, but you look at his numbers this year, you know, in 64 games, yeah, he's got 19 home runs, but he's hitting .228.
Yeah, not great.
He's on base .369, and his OPS is under 1,000. He's .878 OPS. I mean, that's really not good. For him,
it's not good.
For him, it's not good.
And that should be said. That is a good OPS. That's not a bad OPS. For him, it's average.
How do you have 19 home runs and 6 doubles?
Because he's trying to produce.
Oof.
And look at his swing.
I said he has 6 doubles.
Yeah, but if you look at his swing, he's gone all in on launch angle and trying to hit home runs and trying to be a power guy. He hasn't gone all in on being a great all-around hitter, which is the difference this year between him and Mike Trout. Mike Trout can still give you pop, but will hit it to all portions of the field. That's why he's hitting .306,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, and the other issue is that that team's not very good without Daniel Murphy, who just came back the other night.
Yeah.
I think Murph makes a big difference. Zimmerman's not in that lineup. I think the lineup is different, and he's felt a lot more pressure to do everything.
Yeah.
So I think as you see now, Murph is back. Once Zimmerman gets back, once you get their full complement.
It stretches the lineup out.
Yeah, and the rotation is back in order with Strasburg on the DL right now. Once you get back that lineup, I think you're going to be a much better team. My question is it too late? Because I have a hard time seeing them winning anything this year.
How far back are they now? I'm not sure how far back they are. I mean, I'm the guy who says it's not too late just yet. They're still good enough, but again,
it's early.
It's not early. That's not what I said. I'm just saying they're good enough to overcome it.
Jake and I have had epic battles about, well, is it still early in baseball? And my feeling is, throughout my career, every manager I've ever covered has said, well, June 1st means it's not early anymore.
And it's not early anymore. Yeah. There's a difference between saying it's early and saying that they're good enough to overcome.
They're a game and a half behind Atlanta. And Atlanta is just dominating. I mean, Freddie Freeman's an MVP.
Listen to what you're saying. They're a game and a half behind. It's not as though they're 6 games back or something ludicrous. This team is good enough to run the Braves down and hold them back.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but they're not.
Right, they're not doing it.
Right, but they haven't done it at all under any stretch this entire year.
Right, What did you just talk about? They have injuries. Strasburg's hurt. Daniel Murphy's just coming back. Ryan Zimmerman's out. They've been hurt.
Wieters is done, Zimmerman, Kendrick. I mean, yeah, I get it.
So that's what I'm saying. In my opinion, it's not fair to say, well, they haven't done it all year, but they do have all these injuries. And that doesn't matter. They haven't done it all year. I'm the guy who says, yeah, you've had injuries. And that's a really good job being 1.5 games back, heading into middle of June. Pretty good job.
Yeah, and Strasburg, Hellickson, and Joe Ross are all on the DL. Everybody has injuries though, man. The problem is that they're in a really crappy division, and the Braves have come along very quickly here. The Phillies are a bit of a surprise with the pitching they're getting. Well, and that brings you to the Mets, which was my next point, is that I think the Mets could be the solution for the Nationals, only they're in the same division. So I don't think that the Mets will trade DeGrom or Syndergaard to the Nationals. My guess is they'd want those two guys to go to the American League, which, you know, you would think the Yankees would be all about that.
Or the Astros.
The Astros will not trade for a top-end rotation pitcher. I mean, why would you do that? You don't have, in today's day and age of payrolls, you don't just have free payroll money to have, you know, 6 number one pitchers. So I think the Astros are not going to be in that conversation, but I could see the Cubs being in that conversation. I could see teams like the Dodgers, the Giants, certainly the Diamondbacks now are starting to sputter. They're giving up some runs on a consistent basis. If you're the Mets, do you trade Syndergaard and DeGrom?
No.
So if you don't know why I'm asking that question, Todd Frazier apologized to Jacob deGrom for poor run support because deGrom's got no run support all year. What goes through a pitcher's mind when you're one of your star players says, "Hey, man, I'm really sorry. We just don't hit for you." I don't know even what
you
say about
that. You just keep putting up numbers. I mean, that you just keep doing your job. It's not a thing where it's a high drama thing. It's not a thing where it's an end of the world thing. You as a pitcher can control what you can control. DeGrom's going to go out every fifth day and give the best performance he can possibly give on that day. And a lot of winning as a pitcher is what your offense does. You know, on the days
he's got a 1.55 ERA.
Right, I get it. That's what I'm saying. So he's just going to keep going.
He's 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is, he's unbelievable. But he's gotten a little more than two runs a start. He's pitched in 14 games, 31 runs in those 14 games. Let that sink in. The guy is giving up a run and a half a game. And he's getting two runs a game. So there's no room for error. He's got a 1.55 ERA in 14 starts, and he's only got four wins. And somehow he's got two losses. I mean, it's just the Mets are a mess. And if I'm the Mets, I think it's time to, I'm not going to say blow it up, but it's time to rebuild that. The Harvey, you know, that dynamic duo, that foursome, like, that just didn't work. Mats, Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard hasn't worked, mainly because nobody stayed healthy, right? And Syndergaard had an arm scare this year. I think you trade high on Syndergaard and DeGrom if you can. And I think you start in New York, you're never blowing it up, but you're starting over. Sure. The only team I think you can't trade them to is the Yankees. You cannot give, because if you trade Syndergaard or DeGrom to the Yankees, they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
They'll be the best team in baseball because that team's going to give you 6-7 runs a game. They're not going to give you two when you have a 1.55 ERA.
Right.
Like, as a pitcher, what does that say to you? You have a 1.55 and they're giving you two runs a game.
It just says that you're doing your job and they're not doing anything for you. I mean, that's literally what it says. And it's frustrating, but again, as an athlete, it's all about mindset. You can't get frustrated with it. You just have to go out and do your job. If you get traded, you get traded. Like, that's what it is.
I've delayed as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I have to bring up the Giants.
Okay.
And the massive waste of opportunities in that division with your Giants. Now, this is another team, by the way, that has just been decimated by injury.
Yeah.
But where are you at in the NL West? I watched the Diamondbacks play today. They're either elite or they're just a pretty average team. Like, the Pirates gave them a home run today. The guy is going back to catch the ball. It hits his glove and goes over the wall for a two-run home run. Diamondbacks lost.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Because I don't think they're very good. They're not an elite team. I mean, you know, it's easy to say, well, they're either elite or they're average. They're not an elite team. They're not. Like, in all comparison, you compare them to elite National League teams, they're not elite. They don't have the same kind of talent the Cubs have, right? Like, they don't.
No.
Don't have the same kind of talent the Nationals have. They don't. Like, they just don't.
You don't have pitching.
You don't have anything.
You know what? But you know what today is? Today is the anniversary of the greatest game ever pitched in the history of Major League Baseball in the regular season. And one of the worst days in San Francisco Giant history. Do you know what I'm referencing?
No.
Matt Cain's perfect game.
Yeah, I mean, it ended his career.
He was never the same after 2012.
It's the pinnacle of his career.
He throws, I think, the best perfect game ever, and it ended his career. And largely, I think that's when the lights got turned out. And I think that they've struggled to recover from that group of, you know, Timmy and...
Dude, it was a golden era in their organization.
And now they've got to find a way to rebuild that. And with all due respect, I think... You, if you fall out of this race, I do think there is some merit on the Bumgarner trade front. I personally wouldn't do that because Bumgarner and Stratton together for the next 5 years has NL West title written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Stratton's very capable. I would never trade Bumgarner. I mean, the guy, until he wants to leave, he should be a Giant. I mean, it's pretty much that simple.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, I get that. I'm just saying, like, and that's what I'm saying. I don't even humor the Bumgarner trade talk because that's not the right thing to do. Like, it doesn't matter if you could get prospects. I can tell you five guys on that team you could get a bunch of prospects for. That doesn't mean
right,
you should
trade
them. Right,
but if you trade Madison Bumgarner, you're getting the best prospect the organization has to offer. Like, you're getting – Madison Bumgarner brings you the number one prospect in an organization. It brings you – I mean, just pick
the
guy.
And what happens – again, not trying to be a hard-ass, but what happens when he goes to a good team and you see him in the playoffs and he beats
you? It hurts.
So that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't trade the guy. I there's deals to be had, and I think they're a very savvy front office. I think they
sure.
They
but have, I think you have to have the conversation, don't you?
For me, in my opinion, I don't think you have that conversation. I just don't think it's worth it long term. You're not bad. You're just not good. You're somewhere in the middle, in oblivion.
I think you have to have a conversation.
Okay,
I think
so
it's vitally
would you trade
important.
Him for? Like, what would you try to get?
But see. I'm not saying that we start running scenarios. What I'm saying on the San Francisco Giants is you have to sit down, Larry Bear and Brian Sabian, and you have to sit down and you have to say to yourself, are we at a place where we have payroll flexibility? Probably not. Not a ton. So now am I going to trade? Let's say that they fall 10 games out in any time at any point in June or July. Is Madison Bumgarner a guy that we would ever consider trading? If I know the Giants even a little bit, like I think I know the Giants a little bit, I would say the answer is absolutely not. I can't see Brian Sabian ever greenlighting that. Larry Bear ever greenlighting that. But man, I think you got to have the conversation. Now, Buster Posey, you're never trading him. Andrew McCutchen?
Yeah.
Sure, I would trade Andrew McCutchen.
He's got no legacy with the Giants.
Samardzija,
yes.
Cueto,
yes.
All of those guys. But I'm not trading. I might trade Belt. I might trade Brandon Belt. His trade value's probably never been higher. We'll see what happens with
his
appendix.
It would really depend on what you could get, in my opinion, but yeah.
But I'm never trading Brandon Crawford, Joe Panik. I'm never trading Buster Posey, and I'm never trading Madison Bumgarner. And right now, I'm never trading Chris Stratton.
What do all those positions have in common? They're all up the middle of the field.
Well, which is my philosophy on building a team. I think it's much like football. You have to be strong up the middle. You have to have catcher, pitcher, middle infielder, and center fielder. And right now, I'm wide open to trading Hunter Strickland.
Yeah.
I'm wide open to, I'd even trade Longoria. I'd trade Pablo Sandoval, even though he has no value. I would trade, there's a bunch of dudes I'd trade on that team. I'm just saying that I think, and I've heard, the reason I bring this up is I've heard it repeatedly over the last week. Now that Bumgarner's back, if they fall double digits out, do you make that trade? And my feeling is I just don't think you do.
Yeah.
I don't ever see the value in that. But that's just me. And I look at that division right now, they're four out. They're a game under, so they're not in contention. And this is what I say. God bless our Padre listeners, because we have a lot of San Diego listeners. You're five games under. And Padre fans, you know, listening to the Mighty 1090 or, you know, 97.3 The Fan, whatever in San Diego sports radio, you listen to the fans, you listen to callers, you follow them on Twitter, you tweet with them, we're in contention. We're in contention. You're six out and you're five under. You're not in contention.
Yeah.
You're not the team that's going to go to the Mets and say, hey, can we get DeGrom from you? You're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because you've got 50 prospects that are ready to hit the button.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still don't understand why Urias isn't here. But here nor there, I look at that division and, you know, John Gray getting called out by his general manager, you know, saying that he's got to step up and the talking's got to stop and the pitching's got to start. Bless you. Because we've been saying that for 2 years on this show.
Yeah.
I look at the Giants. I think the Giants are contenders because they're a game under.
Well,
and they're only four out.
They've done it in the past. They've proved that
correct.
They're capable.
Yeah. And I look at the Dodgers. I still think it's the Dodgers division. Because at some point, they're going to do something. We're coming into, I think in the next couple of weeks, we're coming into it. where you're going to start seeing bodies get moved and you're going to start seeing money changing hands. And
yeah,
I think it's a fairly big deal. Speaking of which, we're coming into the season of pop sockets. Do you know what a pop socket is?
Yeah, it's a child's toy.
Oh, it's a child's toy. A pop socket's that little thing you put on the back of your cell phone so it's easier to hold.
Oh, so it's a hipster thing.
I don't know, but I put one on my phone and I'm terribly self-conscious about it. First of
all... Why are you self-conscious about it? Why is it weird?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably because I have man parts.
Okay.
And I'm a mature, grown, fully functioning adult. Well, some would say I'm not fully functioning, but whatever. I'm a fully grown adult,
mm-hmm.
and I put a pop socket on my cell phone.
Well, a lot of people do. It's a comfort thing.
So it's not a toy anymore?
Well, it is a toy, but it's a comfort thing.
What does that mean?
It depends. The thing was built to take selfies with. That's why you put it on your phone, so you can hold it with two fingers and use your thumb to hit the shutter button. That's why it was built.
Is that true?
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
That's why it was built.
Do you know, I got it because I want to stop dropping the phone on my face when I'm laying in bed at night.
Yeah, see, but like that's another use of it, right? But then you can use it, like it comes with a clip for your car, so you can use it in the car, like
right,
a phone holder.
Right, it doesn't fit the Tacoma. I drive a Toyota Tacoma 2018. I drive a Toyota Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't fit the vent.
Well, it tells you all you need to know.
I still have to use the other grip.
How does that work? How does the Brefo work with this thingamajig on the back of your phone?
It's fine, because the pop socket, I can't even say it with a straight face, the pop socket fits in there fine.
Mm.
And I, you know what? I don't regret putting the pop socket on there, but, oh, I forgot to tell you about this. I had a weird experience last night.
Okay.
So I went to bed around 11, 10:30-ish. Played some Fortnite, got my ass whooped in the new sniper mode that we're going to talk about in a while. I'm laying in bed last night, and I finally fall asleep. I say finally, I fall asleep in like 5 minutes. It's really not an issue for me. I'm passed out, and my cell phone falls off my nightstand. You know, I have my cell phone on my nightstand right next to my bed every night. I sit it on a wireless charger, which, by the way, the pop socket means I can't do that anymore. So I set it on the wireless charger. I took it out of the case because I put the pop socket on the phone case.
Oh, there
took it
you
out
go.
Of the
that,
case, okay? Not,
okay, that works.
Yeah, screw that. Anyway, I put the phone on the wireless charger. I fall asleep. The phone flies off the nightstand.
Like, how far are we talking? Like, how
the first
far did
time,
it go?
The first time?
Oh, God.
It was 3 feet. And I was like, what the hell? Because it startled me. So I woke up, grabbed it.
Where's your cable? Oh, you don't have a cable. It's charging on the pod. There's
it's
no cable.
It's just sitting on the pad.
Okay.
It's really weird.
Right.
It's never happened before.
Sorry, how did this wake you up? Like, you just, like,
I heard
it
hit the
carpet?
Floor. I heard it hit the floor.
That's weird.
Yeah, I
like
heard
you,
it hit the
but
floor.
Here's why I asked that, because you would think that you wouldn't necessarily hear that, because it's on carpet, not
dude,
tile.
Dude, if a snake farts outside the house, I hear it. Like, I'm not a deep sleeper.
Yeah, okay, go on.
So I wake up.
Yeah, go on.
It flies off the nightstand, I wake up, and I'm like, you know, did I knock that off with my hand or something, or, okay, no problem.
You can explain it away.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Put it on the pad, go back to sleep. That was 11:20. At 11:41, it happened again. This time, I have a California King bed, and I have a area rug at the foot of my bed.
Yeah.
This time it landed on the area rug. And I was like, dude, that's a good 6 feet. There's no
way.
You're
not doing that.
There's no way if I bump my phone or...
You would hear it slide off the nightstand and just kind of fall if you did it.
No. I'm like, what the hell? All right, whatever. I turn the lights on. I get up. I'm like, what the hell? I look under the bed. No boogeyman. I'm like, you're being
an
idiot.
Did you legitimately look under the bed?
No. Yeah. I was like, did something fall off or what? I look under the bed to see what's going on. Nothing. I'm like, okay. This time I push the pad to the back of the nightstand. Right? I put the phone back on the wireless charging pad. And I go back to sleep. It happened again.
What?
This time it fell off the wireless charging pad and was on the edge of the nightstand. So I heard it hit the nightstand. I wake up and the nightstand or the wireless charging pad is back on the front edge of the nightstand. And the phone is next to it. And the thing that I realized, and this is what freaked me out. So if you imagine this, just close your eyes and think to yourself, okay, I'm laying on the left side of the bed. So the nightstand is on my left side by my left arm.
If, and again, picture yourself laying in bed.
Yeah.
So you're on the, from that perspective, you're on the left side of the bed, nightstands to your left.
Yeah. Nightstands to my left. The phone is sitting on a circle that is a wireless charging pad.
Yeah.
And it's long ways. Okay, so it's not laying in the same... So see how I'm laying on the bed?
Oh, boy.
Head to toe.
Oh, boy.
So the phone is actually right to left, east-west instead of north-south.
It's perpendicular instead of parallel.
Right. So I wake up. Oh, no. That phone is perfectly in line with me. And that charging pad is back to the front of the nightstand. And my Yankee hat. I have a Yankee New Era hat that's sitting on the my... I collect Major League Baseball hats, so I have a ton of them. My New York Yankee hat happens to be just sitting on my nightstand. That's now on the floor. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Wow.
And I never found out. I never have figured it out.
How many times has this happened?
Three times total.
Three separate occasions.
Three separate occasions. Two, it went flying off the nightstand.
Dude.
The third time, I heard it drop off the pad, and it was sitting straight as an arrow halfway off the nightstand, and the Yankee hat was on the floor.
Okay, what do you attribute it to?
I have no idea. It's not me bumping it. I'll tell you that right now. My house might be haunted. I did not bump that phone. Because after it happened the second time, I moved to the right side of the bed. Because my wife is up in L.A., so I'm sleeping by
myself. Has this ever happened while she's here?
Never. It's never happened before. It's never happened.
So just to be clear, it's only happened since she's been gone, and it's happened three separate occasions.
No. Last night, it happened. All three of those times happened last night.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No other time has it ever fallen off of the charging pad.
How did you feel in the moment?
I was freaked out a little bit. The second time I was really freaked out because it flew far, man. Like all the way past the foot of my bed onto the area.
Did it land face down or face up?
Face down.
Huh.
Face down. And I know that because...
Where did you get your pop socket thing from?
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't on the phone. The pop socket wasn't on the phone. The case...
Because you had taken it out of the case.
Yeah, I had to take it because the pop socket is attached to a phone case.
Yeah.
And it won't let me wirelessly charge it, so I took it out of the case and to put it on the wireless pad. I don't know what to explain it to. And my wife is like, "Well, you must have bumped it."
Well, she doesn't. She
does just, not believe
she
in ghosts.
Doesn't, she doesn't my believe
wife
in anything, dude.
Does yeah. not believe in
Let's
ghosts.
Let's not talk about that. What I would love to talk about is, you know, do you believe in ghosts? Or do
oh,
you
I
believe,
do wholeheartedly.
Let me rephrase that. Do you believe in unseen forces, like things that happen that?
Yes, I
we
think what happened
see.
Last night was I'm not ready to say it was paranormal, but it was not normal. It was not me bumping it.
Yeah.
It was because, again, after the second time, I was like, I'm not doing this again. I moved to the entire other side of the bed.
Are you at a point where you'd video it? Like, where you'd
No, I'd
up?
Never videotape myself sleeping. No, I don't want to see that. What's that movie where they...
Paranormal Activity.
I don't want to do that.
It's not about you.
I ain't doing that.
It's not about you.
I ain't going back. I'm not... No. No, you would videotape yourself sleeping?
If that was happening to me, yeah, I would.
Nah.
Why
I'm
is
not
that
doing
so
that.
Foreign?
It just would freak me out to watch it. Number one, I sleep naked, so I'd have to sleep clothed. kidding. Number one, I'd have to sleep fully clothed. Number two, it would ruin...
It's not like...
It'd wreck
not,
my sleep.
You're not... Like, you're not publishing the tape. It's so that you can see what the hell is going on.
If it happens again, I might consider it. I might
that
consider
is
it.
Weird. Was there, let me ask you this. Was there a weird feeling when you went into the room, like before you went to bed and like any of that? Like any kind of strange feeling, mm-hmm. anything you noticed?
Nope. Nope. None at all.
Did you change your routine at all?
Nope. Not a bit. Not a bit. Nothing.
Man, I don't know, dude.
Nothing.
I don't know. That is... It's unexplainable. That's the word. It's unexplainable.
I'm telling you. We live in a brand new house, new build. I'm not saying that it's haunted or whatever, but how do you explain that? Three separate incidents in the span of...
And it went further, and then it went back. It reset itself.
Yeah, and it was 2 hours. It was 20 minutes. The first two were 20 minutes apart. And then the next one was at 2:41. Wow.
What?
It was 11:41, I believe, and 2:41. That's weird. The time on my phone was 11:41. I'm pretty sure. And then the next time was 2:41 when it was sitting on the nightstand off the edge. That's exactly 3 hours apart. That's weird. Yeah, I see, like, it freaks me out. It freaks me. I don't know. Do you believe in ghosts? I do.
100%.
I do. I'm not saying
I believe
that
in God too. I believe in that stuff. Some folks do, some folks don't.
And I will say, I thought I was hearing stuff. I actually looked at the camera last night. We have Vivint Home Security.
See anything?
No. No. Just the dog sleeping on the couch. You know? Like, it's weird. But our house makes a lot of noises.
It does.
It makes, like, the air conditioning. So we have, like, multi-zone air conditioning.
Well, but that's different than noises. Like, that's the air conditioner. Like, yeah. There's some creaking that happens. There's some...
Some snapping. But today it was 100 and, like, my car said it was 115 today.
Yeah, it was 114 when I drove home.
So the attic is really hot during the day. The garage is really hot during the day. So you expect some of that. I don't expect my phone to hop off the nightstand like that.
Several times is weird, dude.
I don't. It's effing weird. It is really weird. Not as weird as LeBron and everybody believing they know where he's going. So let's talk some basketball. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Do you care where LeBron goes? Are you, like, interested in it?
Not as much as I was interested in the finals. I mean, that's...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're a Golden State fan, too.
Well, yeah, I'm a Durant fan, which means I'm a Golden State fan. I would be a fan of whatever team he went to, because that's my guy. You know what I mean? But... For me, this seems to happen anytime. It happened with Durant, right? It's happened with Melo. Like, it's happened
Paul
with
George,
Wade,
no.
Paul George. Like, it's happened
Kawhi
with all
Leonard.
These guys. The only reason this is a big deal is because it's LeBron and because of what he's accomplished. And I respect the hell out of that. That doesn't mean I'm going to follow it every single day. Make the decision, because ultimately, and this is what we always come to, sooner you make the decision, the better spot you're going to be in when the season comes back around.
I'm thrilled by it. I love talking about it. I love looking into it. I love the conversation of where is LeBron James going? Because in my mind, there's not 10 teams who can get his attention. With all due respect to teams like San Antonio, Houston, the Clippers, I hear all these people talking about the Portland Trailblazers. I hear all these people talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. None of those teams matter. I think there's two teams that matter in the LeBron sweepstakes. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the LA Lakers. That's it. If he leaves Cleveland, he's going to the Lakers. And this is just my opinion. If he leaves Cleveland, he's going to the Lakers. And I think that if I had to put a dollar on it, I'd put him in LA. Because as I said last week before I went on vacation, basketball, youth basketball, AAU, whatever you want to call it, massive in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Ton of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's no secret it would be the best move for his family, obviously.
Well, I don't know that we... What, and based on what do you say that?
Well, for his kids, like Bronny, what you were just saying, like his kids could go to great schools out there. Bronny could do his thing in basketball.
Well, I love living in California. I mean, it's...
Well, money's not of consequence to LeBron James. I mean, that's not even in the conversation
here.
But
don't touch the pop
socket.
Sorry,
my bad. I didn't mean
Jake
to bump
just
it.
Bumped the...
Sorry.
The thing.
Anyway, now that I'm done caressing, yes, it would be the best decision for his family. I also think it would be the best decision for his business future. With everything he's got going on there.
Well, and the reason that I believe it's L.A. or bust is because his wife really likes L.A. They already have two homes there. he's already got this production company based there. Like, I mean, it's clear they have an affinity for Los Angeles. And by the way, it's a great place to live. I'm partial to San Diego, but that's just me. But California's a great place to live. Weather's great. You got, you know, he's a multi-millionaire. You know, it's a great place for a guy like that.
Yeah, there's a ton of opportunity and a ton of future there.
What do you believe that he's worth $300 million to the Cavs? Because they say when he leaves, that team will be worth $300 million less.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably is, yeah. Yeah, because who would they be without him?
Yeah. The reasons that he leaves Cleveland, they cannot improve their roster. They're really in salary cap hell. They're in, you are J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, and LeBron, and then a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah.
That's where your money's at. Reasons to go to L.A., and this is where the conversation gets complicated.
Yeah.
Are you going to make it over there?
You know what? It's been a long day.
This is where the conversation gets complicated. So yeah. I bring up LeVar Ball, who was on the herd yesterday.
Can I just say before we get into this, I hate talking about LeVar Ball and everything that he brings to the media.
What does that mean? Do you?
I dislike the fact that he can just run his mouth and it's all over front page news. Like, and that's all he's got to do. Doesn't even matter. He could say the sky is falling and everybody would print it. It doesn't matter what he's saying. It doesn't matter how outlandish it is. Like, it doesn't matter. He's still going to be on the front page. With that said, go ahead.
He was on the herd yesterday, LeVar. And he essentially said that it doesn't matter where Lonzo plays, he'll be a star. He said that Lonzo and Kyle Kuzma are not close. He said that the reason that Lonzo cut a diss track in a video ripping Kuzma was because Kuzma ripped LeVar. And that can't stand. He said that Paul George, because Colin asked him, what do you think, can Lonzo play with Paul George and LeBron James? And LeVar said, you don't need Paul George. He's hurt. He's not the same player. Bring in Jello, LiAngelo Ball, his son, and you'll win a championship. And Colin laughed at him, for the record. But it just is one of these things where now you can clearly see that a choice is going to have to be made, Jake. Do you believe that LeBron wants to play with Lonzo Ball or cares about LeVar and Lonzo? Do you think that's a factor at all in his L.A. situation?
I do think it is a factor, but I do think it is at the bottom of the list. I think it's something you have to consider. If you're going to go and play in L.A. right now, it's something you have to consider. It is part of being a Laker right now. You have to understand that you're going to get asked about LeVar. You're going to get asked about, well, what's it like playing with Lonzo?
If LeBron comes to Magic and Rob Pelinka and says, if you want me here, you have to trade Lonzo Ball.
Pull the trigger.
He's gone, right?
See you later.
So in my mind, I think that's the likely scenario because it's clear that LeBron doesn't like LeVar Ball. He's made that clear. And I think that the likely scenario is that, again, I think he picks between Cleveland and L.A., and I think he takes the Lakers. And I think they wind up trading Lonzo and trying to keep Julius Randle somehow.
I mean, that would be super wise.
But here's the thing. Do you believe in Paul George?
Yeah, I do. You know what I believe in? I believe in the setup of the Warriors and the way they play. And I think by letting Lonzo go, Julius can fit the role that Draymond plays, except he can do it better than Draymond offensively. And that's the real key.
Oh, yeah.
Paul George can be your Klay Thompson. I don't care who you put in Steph Curry's role. You'll find somebody. And Kuzma is your wing scorer. And then you have LeBron to do everything
else. And
that
allows you to bring back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Which is your sixth man, which is probably your Sean Livingston.
Because I think he's one of the top three guards available in free agency.
And you know what the nice thing about that dude is? He can come off the bench and give you 10 points while you sit your boys for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And he can shoot the three. Which LeBron clearly needs that. But the other question here is, and you're probably going to hate this or you might love it.
Mm.
There's a lot of people who say LeBron and KD want to play together and they would like to do that in LA. That rumor is not going away.
I mean, listen, I think that there's two sides to this story. One side of the story is they're both competitive and they both want to beat the best. The problem is that they are the best the league has to offer. Like, you can say
the
what
Warriors
you want.
The Warriors are by far the best.
No, team. But I'm saying two best players in the playoffs. Obviously LeBron. And you can say whoever you want. I'm taking KD because he came up clutch when they asked him to come up clutch.
But here's the problem. I think that Chris Paul was better than Kevin Durant in the Rockets series until his hamstring went away.
In the Rockets series, he was better. Yeah. I would say playoff-wise, KD was better overall. In the Rockets series, Chris Paul was better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. They're the two best players going. I would agree with
that. So with that said, things that make me think they'd like to play together. You're doing, I just forgot what it was called, the thing where they're driving around talking about Trump. I can't remember, you know, what that YouTube channel is called off the top of my head.
Yeah, Uninterrupted or something. Yeah. It's LeBron's project.
It's LeBron and KD sitting in an Escalade with the girl from ESPN, and they're talking about Trump and politics. They're doing Kari that Champion. Kind of thing. Yes, Kari Champion. They're doing that type of thing, and that tells me that they're good friends.
They are very close.
Because if you can't have those kind of discussions, create a public... you create public content, put it out, and then not be willing to accept it together because you made it together. So they're clearly close, and it wouldn't surprise me if they played at before LeBron retires because, again, I think people don't like to say this. I think LeBron's got 5 years left. I don't think he's got like nine years left.
And he wants to play with his kid, but that's 7-8 years away. You know, I think his kid is 14. That's 7-8 years away.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that'd be difficult. I don't think there's any reason for Kevin Durant to leave Golden State. Like, why would you leave the Warriors? That's such a good organization.
We always rip LeBron for not winning as much as Jordan or Kobe did. KD has an opportunity to do that now. He has an opportunity to get to five.
Yeah. Five.
And he could get to six if he played long enough, but he said he wants to play. I think he said he wants to play five more years. He's going to retire after five more years, who knows really, right? Like, it's season to season. But he could get, realistically, I don't think he's getting to six. Steph could get to six. I don't think KD's got two rings now. I don't think he's getting to six.
They would have to be this unbelievable dynasty.
Yeah.
And I think with the way the salary cap is so restrictive right now and the money they're going to have to pay Klay, Draymond.
Well, it's not going to be up to KD and Steph to go out and win. They're going to win in the offseason. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, no, it is going to be up to them because they've got to recruit.
If Klay Thompson takes way less money because that's what he's done, and I'm just saying it would be smart on his part because he's not the guy that goes out and wins championships on his own. He's not that player, right? If he takes less money and if everybody else is still willing to take less money, I think they can work it out. But that will be key again.
He's got three rings, Klay.
Klay, yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
I know. He's one of the best shooters the game's ever seen.
They potentially could win four in a row.
Yeah.
If they stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So even if LeBron goes to the Lakers, that doesn't mean that they're going to win.
Listen, I think if LeBron plus one goes to the Lakers,
they're going to be top five, top three.
I think they're going to be better than the Rockets because the Rockets are a flawed basketball team.
You know, there's a couple basketball guys at work, and they think Chris Paul is going back to the Rockets, and it's going to be fine.
Oh, I think
they're going to have Capella, and like they're going to have their whole team back. They're not.
But that's the problem.
They're not.
Ariza's not going to probably be there.
You're not Capella. Have Ariza, Anderson.
Capella's going to get a massive contract.
He's going to be a max player, in my opinion. Depending on who he goes to, he's capable of getting that after.
Somebody
what he
will give him an offer sheet.
Yeah.
And because I believe Capella is restricted. In fact, I know he is.
And by the way, is he the type of player to take the money or try to win? I think he's the kind of player
at this point in your career, you take the money.
Yeah.
Because you haven't earned it yet.
Yeah.
So you got to take the money.
Yeah.
But and that's the interesting thing about LeBron. Is LeBron going to take less? Steph's making 40 a year. Are the Lakers going to pay him 40 a year? Probably not. But if you go to L.A., with Paul George, let's say, because that's the common theory.
Yeah.
If you go to L.A. with Paul George and Kyle Kuzma and Julius Randle and Caldwell Pope, I think they're in great shape. I think they're the second-best team in the West.
Shape, but that doesn't, again, I got to keep saying this. That doesn't make them better or even on par with the Warriors. They're going to have to figure out chemistry. They're going to have to figure out how to play together. LeBron's going to have to figure out how to play off the ball for the first time in like 8 years.
Right, but he wants that. He says
he
needs
that. It's an adjustment.
I don't have any question LeBron can make that adjustment. None whatsoever.
I'm not saying he can't make the adjustment. I'm saying it's going to take them 15 or 20 to make the adjustment as a team.
Yeah. But listen, that's going to be a whole different team. So there's going to be a natural adjustment period. My question is, how well can, or how balanced can they be? How good of a job can Pelinka do building that team? Because LA is not the crown jewel it used to be. It's been too long now. The Kobe Pau Gasol era has been too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to see that. But I do think it's LA or Cleveland. If you, right now today, where do you think he goes?
Los Angeles. He's got no reason to stay in Cleveland.
By the way, how about your boy Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I mean, I told you. I told
Ben
you.
Ben Simmons put out an Instagram story.
At the beginning of the offseason, what did I tell you? Ben Simmons is going to come back with a big-time shot, and Lonzo's not.
Ben Simmons put out an Instagram video of himself shooting threes and making it looking easy. So, but the Lonzo thing, you got to slow your roll on that. It turns out he had a pretty significant knee procedure. So instead of being on the floor, he was in the weight room. So, and which I'm okay with that. He had platelet-rich therapy and essentially had, you know, PRP injected into his knee, the left knee that had that major bone bruise, and he sat out the month of May. And all he did is lift weights, which he really needed to do. So I don't think it's the end
I'm
of the world at all.
I'm not saying he didn't need to do that or that it's wrong that he's, you know, taking that approach to it. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, he's a horrible shooter. He's a great defender, a great facilitator. He's got great vision, and I think his IQ will catch up.
Yeah, and I think there's value in that, and I don't necessarily believe that the Lakers have to trade him to make it
work.
I
don't think they have to trade him, no.
But I know that LeBron doesn't fit with Philadelphia. There's just too much happening there.
It just doesn't make
too many
sense.
Moving
it doesn't
parts.
Make sense.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say that my odds are that he goes to the Lakers. I think it's 70% and 30% he stays in LA. Or stays in Cleveland.
I think it's further than that.
The land.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here today on the show, because we're 53 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In November on the ballot in California, they will have California 3. Which is a proposition to split California into three different states. NorCal, SoCal, and Cali. So Northern California would be the Bay Area up to Oregon. Southern California would be Fresno down to San Diego. And California would be LA County, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, Ventura, and Santa Barbara. What do you think of that?
I don't know why we're doing three. I could see two for sure. I don't like three. I don't see the point.
Well, I think there's a lot of money in Cali.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think there's a lot of money in NorCal and Southern California, yeah. But I also think that those five counties, come on, Ventura alone, Santa Barbara's awesome.
If you
want to
split your state up into three states, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but like, California is horribly flawed.
It is, yeah, but we're going to split the state up into three different states, which means we're going to tax three different states. Which means the government's going to get more money, right? Like, essentially,
well,
they'd get more money.
People are still the same. I think it'd probably be pretty close to even. But I think the ecosystems would change. I think the way you would have three different states, and they would all be doing business differently.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest problem right now is it's so expensive to live there.
Yeah.
You know, like it.
And eventually that's going to need to change.
And I say there as in Los Angeles. Trust me, San Diego is no cakewalk.
Well, in the Bay Area is insane.
Yeah, it is.
The whole state, most of the, anywhere that's nice in California is over the top expensive.
Yeah, and we've lived and lived and live in California, and there's nowhere that's cheap.
Yeah.
But the taxes are out of control. The business climate's broken. You can live anywhere you want in California. NorCal, SoCal, or
Huntington Beach.
So you're going to live
it's
in...
It's not even close.
So you're going to live in Southern California then? The state of Southern California?
Yes.
Is where you're going to live?
I didn't... Listen, we lived in the Bay Area. That wasn't even... It's two different worlds. It's not even close for me. Southern California is superior on like so many different levels.
Like what?
Like the quality of life, in my opinion, is better. Unless you can afford like a nice loft in downtown proper San Francisco, quality of life is better.
I loved Walnut Creek. Look, it's tough to beat the beach. It's tough to beat the beaches of Southern California.
It's not even the beach. For me, it's not even going to the beach because I didn't go to the beach that much. What it is, it's driving through downtown Huntington with the beach breeze, with you know the nice weather.
I'm the dog beach guy. I'm also sunsets at La Jolla. Like, there's a lot to love about Southern California.
La Jolla is phenomenal.
But there's nothing that beats, you know, a June night at AT&T Park.
But I would see, and I agree with that. I'd rather be based in SoCal and just pop up there and come back.
Yeah.
I would much rather live south and go north.
But I also look at like Petco Park. It's awfully difficult to beat Petco Park.
Nice place.
I mean, amazing. I'm one of the few guys in the world who hates going to Dodger games.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the crowd.
Yeah.
But I think Angel games are paint drying.
Yeah.
There's like nothing exciting about that. Like we go to Yankee games. We see the opponent.
Yeah.
We don't go for Mike Trout, sadly, which is another reason a guy should leave. But my point is, I think I'm a SoCal guy.
Yeah.
I love the Bay Area. I loved living in Walnut Creek. But I think on a daily basis, I'm far more an SD SoCal guy. Like I love San Diego. I love it. So. That's just me.
Yep.
There you go. By the way, Trump was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize today.
That's cool. Fortnite's got a new game mode. What? What's the problem?
You just glossed over
that. Dude, I was just going to the important news.
Yeah, Fortnite's got sniper mode.
Yeah.
How about that?
Scope mode.
Do you like it?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's called sniper mode.
Yeah.
And it's all long barrel sniper rifles. Because the hunting rifle does not have a scope, don't forget.
Yeah.
But it's all scoped in long gun mode, and it's fun. I actually hacked somebody to death with my axe today. That was fun.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to shoot somebody up close with a sniper rifle. But I have, like, in regular game mode, I can win. I have yet to win in sniper mode.
It's tough.
But I'm killing a lot.
Because it puts an emphasis on building.
Yeah. I agree. How much do you like Fortnite?
I love it, dude. Love it. I don't like playing it alone, though. Feels weird to play alone.
Thank you. So now you agree with me.
Yeah, I had ample time to play while you were gone. Didn't play that much.
Yeah.
I played maybe 10 games.
Yeah, I don't love playing Fortnite alone.
It's just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you hate playing with me, though.
Oh, I hate how negative your mindset is about the game. It's not playing with you, that's the
not,
problem.
It
it's
is
listening
not.
To you just complain and complain constantly.
I'm a terrible loser. But I think I do a pretty good job while you're playing.
Yeah, sniper mode has made it a lot more fun, I think. It's kind of put more fun back into the game.
I'm a terrible loser. I admit it, I'm a terrible loser. Terrible loser.
It's
awful.
Cool. Yeah.
Awful. Yeah. I will try to be better. But, you know, I'm the guy who never says anything positive about anybody.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, that's, you know, I'm kidding. That's an inside joke. Jake is breaking my balls with that.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Anyway, all right, that's the superstar known as Jake. On Twitter, he is the Catless One. Like, he literally has a 2015 Fiat Abarth that is Catless. And you love it.
Yep.
All right, maybe I should make the taco Catless.
Should.
Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake. I'm always looking for you.